I've been considering with you on the Lord's Day mornings that we have been speaking the rebukes of the Redeemer to the redeemed, to the people of God. And as it is Easter Sunday, I thought that it would be good this morning that we should consider one of the post-resurrection rebukes of the Lord Jesus. We affirm again today, and we say very clearly, we believe in the physical and the literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It is mentioned in verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. That is speaking, of course, of the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples as a group or a company of disciples. For you will know that he had already appeared to individuals. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. But as a group, the disciples together, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself unto them. He appeared in the upper room whenever they were gathered for fear of the Jews. And the doors were closed that night. The Lord had risen in the morning, and at night he came and stood in their midst. That was the first time. And of course, doubting Thomas wasn't there. And 1 week later, when they assembled together, Thomas was there. That was the second time that he appeared unto his disciples as a group, as a company, after his resurrection. This is the third time that the Lord has appeared unto them, and the disciples were in Galilee. They were there at the Sea of Galilee. They've made their way from Jerusalem to Galilee, and Peter has suggested that they go fishing, and seven of them set out in the fishing boat, and they fished all night, and they caught nothing. As they returned to the shore in the morning, they beheld the Lord Jesus. He's standing on the seashore there in his resurrected body. And he calls them to come in. And of course, before he does that, he asks them, had they caught anything? Had they taken anything? And they reply, no, they'd fished all night and taken nothing. And the Lord told them to cast the net out the right side of the ship. And when they brought in the net that time, it was full of fish. And then when they came ashore, the Lord invited them to come and dine. He had prepared breakfast for them there at the seashore in Galilee. And after they finished breakfast, the Lord, of course, invited them to come and dine. The spiritual lesson there, men and women, is this. That after weary service and at times in the work of God, we can become weary and tired. Sometimes the service of God can become toilsome. And there the picture is that they're fishing and we are to fish for men. And sometimes we can become tired and weary. We're to dine with Christ. We're to come into his presence and we're to feed in him. And that's what re-energizes us for the work of the Lord. After the Lord had provided the meal for them, he takes Peter aside. He begins to walk with Peter. And he does two things to Peter. He challenged him. Lovest thou me? What a question that is. We'll look at it in a little more detail in a few moments. And then he commissioned Peter. He not only challenged him, but he commissioned him. Feed my sheep. And you'll see in verse 16, if you have a margin in your Bible, the word feed could be translated, shepherd my sheep. Peter's great calling in life was to leave the nets, to leave the business, to leave the fishing, and to shepherd the flock of the Lord. He was to be an under-shepherd. He was to be an apostle. He was to be one who would feed and tend and pastor and shepherd the flock. That was to be Peter's life's work. And as the Savior was challenging and commissioning Peter,
Peter noticed that John was following. He turned and he viewed John. And he's coming behind. And Peter asked the Lord a question. You'll see it in verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? It was at that point that Jesus rebuked Peter. And in verse 22, you have another one of the rebukes of the Redeemer to the redeemed. For Jesus saith unto him, unto Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, and here's the rebuke, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Matthew Henry said of those words, what is that to thee? He says, the Lord is saying to Peter, mind thou thine own duty. If I was to put it in Ulster speak or the common man's language, the Lord was simply saying to Peter, you mind your own business and you follow me. And though the Lord said it very graciously, and maybe there's a wee lesson there for us all, if we have to give a word of rebuke, we should put it as graciously and in gracious language, just as the Savior did. But nevertheless, he's saying to Peter, you mind your own business and you just follow me. And it's that post-resurrection rebuke that I want us to look at in a little detail this morning, in the time that we have available. And I want you to consider, firstly, the distraction that prompted this rebuke. The distraction that prompted the Lord to tell Peter to mind his own duty and to follow him. And you'll see it there. You'll see the distraction in verse 20. I want to lay particular emphasis on two words. Then Peter, turning about, I want you to picture it in your mind's eye. The Lord and Peter are walking along the shore of Galilee. And the Lord has spoken to Peter and he's speaking to him personally. There's no one else there, just the Lord and Peter. And there's times the Lord does that. The Reverend Stripp on Wednesday night, he was telling of his call to India. And he said of how he was sitting in the Martyrs Memorial at the convention one year. And Dr. Jacob Chelly was preaching about the need for India. And he said it was just as if the Lord was speaking to him. There was no one else in the meeting. And the Lord at times does that. He singles his people out and he speaks personally to him. That's what he's doing to Peter. And the Lord is speaking personally to him. And he's giving him a personal word. And Peter turns about to see what else is going on. And he notices John. And he changes the subject altogether. What's this man going to do? It's a common thing for God's people to be distracted from their calling and from the Word of God when it comes to their souls. The individual believer can get distracted. And it's, let me just remind you that really what Peter is being distracted from is his calling in life. The Lord has just said, follow me in verse 19. And we should emphasize that, follow me then, Peter, turning about. And the believer at times can get distracted. Maybe taken up with the temporal things in life. Maybe getting taken up with other minor, less important issues, even in the work of God. And they become distracted from what God wants them to do in being a witness and a servant for Him. We say the church could become distracted from its calling. The Lord has called the church to worship, to disciple men, to pray, to evangelize, and to contend for the faith. And the great distraction in this generation is to be distracted by entertainment, or we think of the charismatic delusion where people are more desirous to have some ecstatic experience rather than worship, disciple, pray, evangelize, and contend. Or we can get distracted. Can I say the sinner could be distracted? I can't help isolating those words, follow me. And if I just isolate them, the Lord would say that to every unconverted man and woman. Every boy and girl, if you are not a Christian, what is the word of the Lord to you this morning? Follow me. Follow Jesus. Trust me. Believe me. Follow me. And oh, you get so distracted. Because there's things in life you want to achieve. There's things in life you want to do. There's things in life you don't want to give up by repentance to follow the Lord. And you get distracted. Oh, how easy it is to get distracted from the Lord's calling in life. Can I pay particular emphasis to the moment or the time when Peter was distracted? And I suppose I've already mentioned it in passing. The Lord has just challenged him. The Lord has just spoken to him. The Lord has barely finished speaking. Follow me. Then Peter turning about. Barely finished speaking. And Peter's thinking about someone else and something else. How often can that happen on the Lord's day, morning or evening? The Lord's word comes with power to our souls. And we want to get distracted and taken up with other people and what they were doing last night or what they'll be doing tomorrow and other things in life. Oh, may the word of God have its place to sink down into our hearts. In the seriousness and solemnity of Christ's word coming to Peter, he was taken up with unimportant issues and unimportant questions. The lesson, child of God, is how quickly we can get turned aside from the will of God and from the word of God. Isn't that what happened to Israel in the wilderness? Just turn back to Exodus 32 and the verse 8. Exodus 32 and verse 8. Moses has been on the mount. He's been receiving the law. And the people have said he's not coming back. And they've told Aaron, we're going to make gods and return to Egypt. And they take the gold and they cast it into the fire. And they make a molten calf. And the Lord's assessment in verse 8 to Moses tells him in verse 7 to get down the mountain. For the people have corrupted themselves with idolatry and imagery. He says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Oh, how quickly they turned aside. The Lord had brought them out of Egypt. He'd opened the Red Sea and they'd walked through it. And Pharaoh's armies were drowned in the midst of the sea. And they sang the song of Moses and victory unto the Lord. And yet how quickly. Just a matter of months. They'd made a golden image. And they're ready to return to Egypt. I tell you, men and women, we must always be on our guard against Satan's devices, his temptations, and the flesh. For how quickly we could be distracted from our calling in life. Is there someone here and the Lord has given you a task to do in the local church, or in the local community, or in the work of God, and truth be made known, you've become distracted. You've got away from that service. You've given up. Oh, may you get back to doing that service for the Lord. That's the time of and the moment of this distraction. But let me point out, I think I should emphasize it before we leave this thought. Notice the means of distraction. What exactly was it that distracted Peter? He says in his question in verse 21, Lord, what shall this man do. He was distracted by someone else. John didn't mean to distract Peter. But Peter was so taken up with John that he got his eyes off the Lord and what the Lord had for him to do. We're not told Peter's motive for asking the question. It could have been out of genuine concern for John. For the Lord had just told Peter how he would die, how Peter would die. But it may have been out of idle speculation, curiosity, nosiness. This man, he may have had great success. This man may have had tragic failures. But what the Lord is impressing on Peter is that it doesn't matter what this man does or will do. You follow me and execute your calling in life. And that's the message to every one of us. Don't be taken up with what others are or are not doing in the service and in the work of God. There are those and they will have great success. And you may think, I could never live up to what they are in God's service, so I do nothing for the Lord. There are others and they may go on well, and then they drastically fail. And you may say, I wouldn't want to be like that. And there's a person who's failed. So, well, I just not do anything for the Lord. There are those that take that attitude. No, the Lord's saying, forget about what others will or will not do. You just follow me. That's the message of the Lord to your heart. The little children's chorus says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Regardless of what others say or do, will you go through with God? Will you follow Jesus? Will you serve Him until He calls you home? Oh, the distraction that prompted this rebuke. What shall this man do? What is that to thee? You mind your own duty, and you just follow me. Then I want you to notice, secondly, not only the distraction that prompted this rebuke, but notice the duty that accompanied it. For the Lord says in verse 22, right at the end, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, that's your duty. And the duty that the Lord was emphasizing to Peter was follow him in relation to his service. He had commissioned Peter three times, feed or shepherd my sheep. Feed or shepherd my lambs. That's your job. That's your calling in life. That's what I have for you to do, Peter. You follow it. And as I consider the great charge and challenge to Peter to follow the Lord and execute his own service faithfully before the Lord, I see in this incident that we are taught that we are to follow or serve the Lord lovingly. Verse 15, 16 and 17. Before the Lord commissioned Peter, on each occasion he asked him the question, lovest thou me? And that teaches each one of us that all true service for God is to be motivated by love for Jesus Christ. Three times Peter was asked, lovest thou me? And commentators are agreed. It was because three times he denied the Lord. And three times Peter answered, I love thee. And it is love for Christ that will motivate and move a child of God to serve him. This challenge in relation to Peter's love, it shows us his response, shows us the scope of his love. Because there's a little bit added to one of those questions. In verse 15, that isn't in verse 16 or verse 17.
lovest thy name more than these. And we are not told what the these are. Commentators and preachers have speculated. I don't think they're far wrong. Some have suggested it was the boat and the nets. Peter had been called in Matthew chapter 4 to leave the nets and follow the Lord. And now he for a moment he's gone back to the fishing. And is the Lord saying and challenging Peter, do you love me more than your earthly profession? Then follow me. Other commentators suggest that he's speaking about the disciples. Do you love me more than you love the brethren? Oh, we're to love the brethren. We're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're to love the Lord more. Some have suggested that the Lord was asking Peter, do you love me more than the brethren love me? The reality is, we're not told what these were. But Peter's response was, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Let me tell you today, brethren and sisters, our service for God will only be blessed. Our service for God will only succeed when we're moved to serve Him out of a heart that loves Him more than anything else in this life. Can you say with the hymn writer this morning, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-scarred hand than to be the King of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I tell you, that's what should move and motivate us and will move and motivate us to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross and to continue in His service. Oh, we see not only the scope of His love, but the sincerity of His love. Lord, Thou knowest all things. Evidence of the Lord's deity. Peter knew he couldn't bluff the Lord. He could bluff John. He could bluff the disciples and make loud proclamations, I love Jesus. He said in front of them all, I will not deny the Lord, I'll go with Him to death. That was a loud boast in front of the disciples. And when the Lord was taken away, they arrested Him. Peter Scarper. And didn't he deny Him at the fires? That Thou wast with Him. And with oaths and curses he denied Him. He could put on the show previously for the disciples. But now he's one-to-one, face-to-face with Jesus. And he knows that the Lord can see into his very heart. And yet of a truth he can say, Lord, with almost a tear in his eye, for he was grieved the third time. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Can you say that? Can you look Jesus in the eye if he were here this morning? And say, Lord, you know my, the very thoughts and the intentions and the motives of my heart. Lord, you know it. And you know that I love thee. Oh, it was Peter's love. That sincere love. That love that was greater than any other earthly love or tie. And it was that love that moved him to follow Christ. And to follow Christ's calling and Christ's will for his life. He followed the Lord lovingly. Let me say, he was shown by the Lord he was to follow him steadfastly. Let me refer you to verse 19 of this chapter. This the Lord spake. And I'm just paraphrasing there. This spake he. That's the Lord Jesus. signifying by what death that he, that is Peter, should glorify God. The Lord told Peter, following me, feeding my sheep, it's going to lead to martyrdom. And Peter, we are told by church history, was crucified. And some tell us that he requested to be crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die the same way as his Lord. But Jesus was highlighting, Peter, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have trouble. You're going to face great difficulties in following me. You're going to need to be steadfast. And that's the message of the Lord to your heart and mine. He said in Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There's a cross to be borne. And I don't know what it will be for you or for me. But I tell you, the Lord would exhort us, whatever we face, continue following the Lord. Continue serving the Lord until the day and hour that he calls you home. May we be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain for Christ. May we bear the cross, whatever it is, and steadfastly follow Jesus. The distraction that prompted the Savior's rebuke. The duty that accompanied the Savior's rebuke. And let me, in closing, just draw your attention to the declaration that followed the Savior's rebuke. You see, what the Lord said to Peter is recorded in verse 22. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And that led to some confusion among the disciples because they didn't listen carefully enough to the words of the Lord or to the report that was given. Because it says in verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren. So you had an apostolic tradition or saying, a saying among the apostles, that disciple, that's John, should not die. And they said among themselves, John isn't going to die. He's going to live right up until the Lord returns. And this confusion resulted in the fact that they didn't pay close enough attention to the word of Christ. Because what Christ actually said was, if I will, that he tarry. He didn't say that John would live until the Savior tarried. And the clarification comes to us from the word of God. If I will. Even on the one word, doesn't it show us how important every word in Scripture and every word of Christ is? The Bible tells us every word of God is pure. And every word in the Bible is important. And the disciples actually embraced an error because they hadn't paid close enough attention to every word of Christ. And the little lesson there as we close is this. We should pay close attention to the word of God. And if we neglect the word of God, then we leave ourselves open to fall into error in faith and practice. May the Lord give us a love and a knowledge and an understanding for his word. And may we hear the rebuke of Christ to mind our own duty and to follow the Lord with all of our heart.